Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
What has happened that is really good news, in my opinion, today is the end of SegWit2x. Now, what is SegWit2x?
Mike?
SegWit2x is the hard fork that has been planned for a number of months for Bitcoin. And it includes essentially two aspects. One has already been implemented called SegWit, or Segregated Witness, which is a technique for making the Bitcoin network work better by not requiring complete consensus worldwide for every transaction. And that seems to have been implemented pretty well. But now the 2x part, which doubles the block size, the i.e. the amount of data that each block in the blockchain can process, from 1 megabyte to 2 megabytes, has been canceled due to a number of people pulling out of the agreement now that they've got segregated witness implemented.
Yeah, I actually
sound like a bunch of shookers on a deal, doesn't it?
Like, well, who cares at this
I
point?
I care.
Why? It's a contract.
No, it was an agreement. I don't know if any consideration was put up for this.
Sounds like I'm never going to make an agreement for you with
a
you.
A contract is a meeting of the minds. Whichever coin gets the most hashing power is essentially the market deciding which coin is the one that the market wants.
So you're saying hashing power is the relevant factor?
Yes, because that's
not difficulty.
That's what's doing the actual work of authenticating transactions and generating new coins. And
now, where do you go to find that one out? Because I know there's a lot of great like Bitcoin charts out there, but can you really figure out what the hashing power is, or don't you have to kind of know how much each mining pool has?
You can Google it. Just look up Bitcoin hashing power, and there's a number of sites that
I'd be interested to see the comparison between Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin, given that Bitcoin Cash, which was the sort of the first ever split from the Bitcoin network back in August, that was, you know, this historic split. Right now, as of earlier today, they both had, it was like they were basically both on sort of parity with one another as far as the profitability of the mining, meaning that Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Core, if you want to call it that, the two different competing Bitcoins out there were about at the same level as far as profitability. And that's what the miners are looking for. Bitcoin has reached a new all-time high of nearly $7,900 as participants of the SegWit2x hard fork announced they have suspended it. A circular sent to a mailing list by major proponent Mike Belsha says that it was clear the project had, quote, not built sufficient consensus for clean block size upgrade at this time, unquote. So therefore, SegWit2x, as it has been called, this plan to supposedly upgrade Bitcoin, is not going to activate this month as planned. They did not name a possible future date. The message reads in part, quote, our goal has always been a smooth upgrade for Bitcoin. Although we strongly believe in the need for a larger block size, there's something we believe is even more important. Keeping the community together.
Oh, yeah, that's happening.
I have to ask because what's keeping the community together is the trust that people are building through working with each other without government controls or authority over people. And, you know, as libertarians, we know that in order to maintain that sort of community trust, the basis of that is people honoring their contracts.
Sure.
And when people don't honor their contracts, that's when you start to see trust erode in a community.
I understand that, you know, people shouldn't break their agreements. I get that. In this case, as you said, Mark, you're glad this one happened, right? You know,
yeah,
even
I
though
am.
You don't want to do business with whoever it was that, you know, had reneged on their promises, personally, this makes the marketplace, it seems like, a lot more clear. One of the problems was going to be if this SegWit2x thing happened next week, there was a whole lot of uncertainty as far as, well, how long will it be safe or how long will it be after the fork until it is safe to spend Bitcoin? Because there was this thing called a replay protection that was not put in place for SegWit2x. And that's because the SegWit2x plan seemed to be to kind of subsume the old Bitcoin and replace it. And so they were they didn't want to put in these protections that others have put in. Like with Bitcoin Cash, they had this. And the replay protection, I believe, makes it so that once the fork happens, if there's no, you know, like wallet support or whatever, if you hit send on sending some Bitcoin, you're going to send that Bitcoin and the new 2X version of the Bitcoin out too, right?
Well, what's the point? Yeah, you know, that's a lot of people are getting into. They were getting into this fork beforehand because they thought they would get two Bitcoins for every Bitcoin they held.
There was a possibility that they could have. There's still this Bitcoin Gold thing, but Mike, you said that's a scam, basically.
It's a
scam. To sell computer hardware.
And the thing with, you know, the market is very good, I think, at judging these sort of things, and it will really never leave the ground because there won't be enough hashing power adopting it.
To start it.
Yeah.
To really kick it off. Because this one, what I understood from this Bitcoin Gold was that they were going to have what they called a pre-mine. So it wouldn't be available publicly to mine, but them and their buddies would be behind the scenes mining it. And then eventually, so they'd get a bunch of free coins out of that, supposedly.
They would. And that seems like a way to for them to escape the trap that they're in because there isn't enough hashing power to get through the next block. And so what they're going to do is they're using their own miners to force through to the next block to get an adjustment in the difficulty downward so that then it basically unleashes so it becomes a lot easier for people to mine it with simpler machines.
So the Bitcoin Gold has an every block difficulty adjustment?
I'm not sure how many blocks.
Because with Bitcoin originally it was 2016 blocks,
right.
And which is about 2 weeks typically.
Right. And they need to power through to that, and if they don't make it, then
power it's through to the 2016th block, however far away that is from when they forked off.
And if they don't get enough transactions, you know, they'll just be mining through empty blocks.
Now, for young people who don't remember Betamax, back in the 1980s, there was a war between these video cassette formats, and there was Beta and there was VHS.
Right.
VHS ultimately won that war, and the argument is that porn adopted VHS, and so therefore that's the direction the market went
in. And Beta was a better quality tape.
Beta was a better quality, but you had to run it, I guess, faster, so there was usually
a lot of times
Beta tapes, you would get a two-pack, so you'd have part one of the movie on one tape and then part two. So there were some problems with Beta as well, and maybe those would have gotten worked out in the long run. But ultimately, the development slowed to a crawl because Beta lost that fight in the marketplace.
They did fix that, but by the time they did, they had lost in the market.
The market share, right. So Beta didn't die. It just became something for television production stations and like high-end video production. But ultimately, as far as consumer-level products, it disappeared. And so looking at that and looking at today, the difference is when you're dealing with a physical product like that, you've got significant costs in inventory and capital and, you know, all these tapes that have been manufactured and have to go somewhere.
You got to build a plant to make them.
You got to build a plant to make them. You've got all these tapes. They've got to get bought by, you know, the movie companies to put their product on, which is what they were used for primarily, you know, back then, was to play back Hollywood movies.
Personally, as a libertarian, I embrace variety in choices in the market. And when people complain about too many choices, like, for instance, Bernie Sanders did in the election about 27 choices of deodorant at the store, I have to wonder, you know, whether they're actually talking with any economic intelligence, because, you know, both psychophysics and advertisers and marketers all know that not everybody can be fit in the same product box. People like different things. And so, you know, some part of the market is going to want Bitcoin Cash and another part is going to want SegWit. And, you know, they're going to have their own different utility functions.
And well, so that's not going away. Bitcoin Cash isn't disappearing. It hit the ground running back in August. And so we've got to live with two different Bitcoins, but I'm glad we don't have a third one at this point. You weren't in reality at this point. You were hallucinating. You were not seeing what was actually, like,
did
in front of you.
Did being have any particular features you noticed? Was he
That's what I
read
it to. It's really, really crazy.
Okay.
It's not crazy, but
okay.
That the thing is, okay, so it looked like a human, like, you know, body without, okay, I want to, best way to explain it is a hologram. Like a hologram.
So you could, he was maybe
a
little
head.
Transparent?
It was slightly elongated head.
Uh-huh.
And he started to moonwalk. like during fishing and this. And his, but just, but he was walking south. And I said,
are you saying Michael Jackson has come back from the alien spaceships?
No, this is.
I said to Bruce, I said,
wasn't he dead by then?
And he said, I am Michael Jackson.
See, I called it.
There we go.
Well, I guess you really have to. Okay. The only way to really know if it's Michael Jackson.
Hold on. See, I talked over you when you were saying that part. So tell me how you knew it was Michael Jackson again, because I was predicting that this was Michael Jackson while you were explaining this. So what happened now? Started moonwalking, and what was the rest?
I looked toward the voice, or, you know, the voice that was speaking, and I said, is that Michael Jackson? And he said, I am Michael Jackson.
What was the voice saying?
So you're literally like...
You're saying that Michael Jackson...
I love him so much.
Was God to you, is what you're saying.
Well, that's... So, well, then I invested the Project Bluebeam, where they said, well, this is going to happen, because there was a lot of stuff going on at that time, and...
Now, Project Bluebeam, that's some sort of conspiracy theory or whatever.
Yeah,
what was that one?
Well,
I forget which one that was.
Why
was
would
the spaceship
God
thing?
Appear to me to be Michael Jackson? I said, I never listened to his music.
So what happened then? Did he, you know, invite you to the to his playland or whatever it is he has?
9 months later, the virgin birth happened again.
And he said, right.
Wouldn't that be ironic?
A lot of things happened that night. He asked if he could resurrect himself inside of me. And I, you know, the whole time I'm like, yeah, I'm going with
it.
Everything. And just, I'm going with it because, and then now I reflect on it. I'm like, wow, I can't believe.
Did Michael Jackson actually knock you up? Do you believe you were knocked up?
You, of course, agreed to this, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just heard that fantastic caller that just called in. And I knew I had to call in following that because, you know, as you know, I was, you know, I've never seen anything like it in Omaha. And that's where I am at. And what I kind of wanted to say was, you know, it seems funny when you listen to that call, but is that really that much stupider, for lack of a better word, than anything any actual religious people believe?
Well, I mean, I'm religious, and, you know, you can believe whatever you want about whether it's...
Religious people believe it happened to someone else.
Hey, she's a Methican American, I'm sure, so do not judge her.
I mean, there are definitely some pretty ridiculous stories out there in the world religions, if that's what you're referring to.
Well, there are people who I know are listening who thought, you know, that phone call was so silly when they heard it. But I'm sure that they believe things that are just as silly, and they go somewhere every Sunday and, you know, repeat these silly things that are literally just as silly as this caller to themselves. So I just kind of
Right, there are stories that they were told when they were children that they believed. But yeah, a lot of them have just about the same level of unbelievability.
A magic guy in the sky.
To them.
I find myself in kind of a libertarian dilemma.
All right.
And I thought I'd see if people wanted to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, let's hear it.
A few months ago, my neighbors sold their house. And the new people who moved in are nice people. We get along with them pretty well. But the husband and his father, who's a frequent visitor, both smoke cigars. And I'm talking about the telephone, the green telephone pole style cigars, these monster stinky things. And I don't like the smell, but I can tolerate it. My wife has asthma. When these guys smoke, and they only smoke in the backyard, when they smoke these cigars, the wind blows the smoke into our yard. Mm. She has to come in the house, take her rescue inhaler, and just stay inside with the windows closed.
Damn.
So how do I deal with this? I mean, I can't tell the guys you can't smoke on your own property. It's their property. They can't control which way the wind blows the smoke. So what do we do with this?
This smoke is what's called a negative externality in our libertarian economics. And it's pollution, and they are causing a measurable harm because of her health issues. So, you know, whether you can say, you know, amicably, you know, she has asthma, please don't smoke in certain times when she's is outdoors.
What if she's got a peanut allergy and the people are eating peanuts next
right.
door, and that's, you know, flaring up?
I'm an ex-smoker, and I'm not one of those self-righteous ex-smokers.
Yeah.
So, you know, I fully understand the guy wants to go light up. He should be able to light up. And he bought this house. It's his property. He should be able to light up. But, you know, we should be able to breathe, too. So I'm just I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know what angle I want to take to approach it when I talk to him. So,
I would take the angle of, hey, man, I'm an ex-smoker, and I understand just everything you just said. I don't think that I should be able to impose my way on you, but I'm wondering if there's an agreement we can come to because my wife is ill.
Right. So some of the thoughts I've had while we've been talking about this is – you know, what's the location of wherever he's smoking? Is it possible to, you know, for him to move that location to something that's, you know, has less proximity to your side of the fence?
It's not. We're backyard neighbors, backyard to backyard.
Backyard to backyard.
His backyard, you know, they've got a gazebo back there with a nice table in it and a little water feature. It's a place made to sit down and relax.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why he enjoys smoking it there.
What happens when these forks have occurred, when Bitcoin Cash happened, for instance, not everybody was ready. They weren't all prepared to, you know, implement Bitcoin Cash the next day. Some people were, and, you know, they got more business out of it. So, for instance, the Coinomi wallet had implemented Bitcoin Cash capability basically at launch, whereas Jax, who was a sponsor of ours at the time, they kept promising it. I don't think they've yet implemented Bitcoin Cash, have they?
Who's that?
Jax.
I heard that they were supposed to have that done. Let me check.
Well, there's been a whole lot of we've been supposed to been having to do this.
Agreed.
And, you know, here we are. It was August 1st when the Bitcoin Cash split happened. It is now early November. So, you know, we're a solid quarter of a year since that. So Coinomi got it done.
Yeah.
And they had it done day number one. And you could take your 12 words from Jax. You could import those into your Coinomi wallet because, again, there's the backup phrase that Bitcoin wallets have to help you not lose your – like if you lose your phone, as long as you have these backup words written down and kept in a safe place, you can take those words and you can re-enter them into a different device and have access to your Bitcoin again. So you could take those 12 words from Jax that you might have written down, import them into Coinomi, and then there was like a special advanced thing you had to do with this thing called a derivation path. So there was a blog post that you had to follow
right
at Coinomi's blog to make sure you got it right. But as soon as you got their, you know, if you followed their simple instructions, there you had it.
I just wanted to point out one detail, and that was that one of the problems that you have, one of the reasons why the fees are high with Bitcoin, obviously the block size, that is part of it. But also in general, wallets are typically the ones who are able to decide what the fee is. A lot of wallets don't allow you to put in a custom fee. Mm-hmm. There are some that do. And so it's kind of this trade-off where the wallets, if they set the fee a little bit lower, then the transactions will go through. It'll take a lot longer time. That's a bad wallet experience. So
right.
The wallet developers don't want that experience for their users. So what they do is they tend to take something like the average. You know, they have kind of these services that tell you what the average transaction
right.
fees are. And then they'll add something like 5% or 10% on top of it. So what you have is they keep on – that increases the average, and it just keeps
sure.
on moving it up, 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 up. It's kind of a trade-off, right, between transaction times and fees. So – I just wanted to just point that out. That is also one of the reasons that is causing. Obviously, the block
that's
size
true.
Is another thing.
Yeah, that's true.
I just wanted to point that
You're
out.
You're saying that that's aggravating or making worse the already bad what's called fee market. A little bit of a difference.
I think that's probably more a function of how the market is responding to with the collapse of the 2X that perhaps the supply of blockchain capacity. Doesn't meet market demand and
no, it definitely doesn't. The SegWit2x guys, they backed down earlier today with an announcement that first came out on an email of some sort that I guess there's like an email list where some of the developer types hang out, and there was an announcement on in one of those places, which was ostensibly signed by a few different folks who were involved in this SegWit2x plan. According to Cointelegraph.com, and they get the full statement here, they've taken out some excerpts, they claim they wanted to keep the community together and that they didn't believe that they had what it took to have enough consensus to move ahead with this particular fork. And they say, quote, "It's unfortunately clear that we have not built sufficient consensus for a clean block size upgrade at this time. Continuing on the current path could divide the community and be a setback to Bitcoin's growth. This was never the goal for SegWit2x. They go on to say that, quote, as fees rise on the blockchain, we believe it will eventually become obvious that on-chain capacity increases are necessary. When that happens, we hope the community will come together and find a solution, possibly with a block size increase. Until then, we are suspending our plans for the upcoming 2 megabyte upgrade. There's a gentleman who calls the show who's a big SegWit1x advocate who says that the SegWit part of the Bitcoin blockchain is very, very empty. And that's because only about, what, 15% maximum? I haven't looked at the numbers. I knew it was at least 10% recently, but like maybe 10 to 15% of the Bitcoins out there are now in SegWit addresses, or that 10% of the users or whatever had changed over.
This is a SegWit transaction right here, and it's jammed up.
It's jammed up. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, the number three starts. So the SegWit transactions. Yep. I don't know what's going on with that, but the claim was 70% empty, and so my answer was, well if that's true, then why are the fees
should do it, right?
Right, right. If it's so empty, then why are the fees so high?
If the fees are so high, then that should be driving miners into mining that part. And what's going on?
I think the miners are mining all of the above. I don't think it's one or the other. They're mining SegWit and old school, like, together. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but it's my understanding they don't choose whether they are mining SegWit or not.
According to the data, there's a difficulty adjustment downward coming up very soon.
When?
There was an article on coin.dance.
Mm-hmm. That's a great site, by the way.
And they were talking about this. Let me see if I
can. Yeah, if you can pull it up.
Let's keep talking, and I'll bring that up.
Sure. So when the difficulty adjustment happens, if more miners are in the game, if they're competing to mine Bitcoin, then usually that means the difficulty goes up, meaning that it gets harder to find the things that they're looking to find to uncover the new Bitcoins, doing the cryptographic math or whatever it is that those computers are doing. It gets harder. But if people leave Bitcoin mining, if they say, let's say they want to mine an altcoin instead, one of the competitors, or maybe they want to mine Bitcoin Cash rather than Bitcoin Core, if they leave the Bitcoin Core, then when the difficulty adjustment happens, the difficulty will adjust downward and it'll get easier. And the idea is that if the difficulty gets easier, it'll actually attract more people back in to mining that, because it'll be easier to mine the Bitcoin. So we're in a situation now where it's going to be very interesting to watch and see what happens between these different Bitcoin miners. You mentioned coin.dance, Mike. It's a great site that actually does a really interesting job of kind of keeping an eye on the different relationships between the two different competing Bitcoins out there. So there's a coin.dance for Bitcoin, and then there's another one for Bitcoin Cash. So if you go and, for instance, you look at the Bitcoin Cash page, and then you click on blocks, it'll actually show you a comparison. It says here that right now it's 4% more profitable to mine the original chain.
I thought SegWit2x was the end of the World War Geek.
Uh-huh.
I'm
naive.
Yeah, well, apparently I was quite naive. But at this point, I want to know what they have to fight over.
Well, I think that
the claim to the throne.
Right. We're seeing these forks in Bitcoin because people are realizing that altcoins that may be essentially derivations of Bitcoin never really took off and gained market cap because they started from zero in terms of adoption.
Right. Sure.
And so they're people that want instant market cap are going to be drawn towards doing forks in order to gain that market cap.
Not if they, and you would think so, but that's why I'm hoping Bitcoin Gold fails. Because if Bitcoin Gold, which is this sort of minority fork thing that happened, so there was the first fork of Bitcoin Cash, which happened back in August, on August 1st. Then about 2 weeks ago, there was this Bitcoin Gold fork that has not really materialized into anything at all because there's this testnet thing and they haven't even released this thing publicly. And it's just a real mess, it seems like. We just did a test here in the studio not too long ago where I pulled up the Bitcoin that I have in the Trezor and I tried to send it from SegWit address or send from a legacy address, and they're both still very expensive. The SegWit was like $3-something for the transaction. The legacy was like $4-something. If you go to they changed this. It used to be .21.co. It's now bitcoinfees.earn.com, E-A-R-N, earn. So bitcoinfees.earn.com. And if you ever want to see at any moment a snapshot of what the fee situation is like at that moment, This is the best site to do it, because what it shows you is, as you scroll down the page, you can see the relative amounts of like transactions that are using the different levels of fees. So you can see there's a huge wall of fees at like the smallest level of potential fees that you could send,
yeah,
like 1 to 10 satoshis per byte is
that's
how it's
spam.
Measured. You claim that that's the spam.
Yes, I
don't know
do.
If that's actually true. Introduced as a peer-to-peer electronic cash system, Bitcoin experienced explosive exponential growth during its initial years. Users were drawn by properties of Bitcoin that allowed for cheap money transfers, instant confirmations, worldwide compatibility, round-the-clock operation, and no limitations on minimum or maximum transaction amounts. Now, I don't know if instant confirmation is an accurate statement. I would say that 10 minutes was the typical time for confirmations with Bitcoin back in the day. You would instantly know if the payment was made, generally, and there's no way to reverse it. So, I mean, you could look at that as, hey, someone made a payment, but the confirmations are the things that, you know, where Bitcoin's network confirms over and over again that, yes, this was a legitimate transaction. There was right. no double spend here or whatever. So I would say that's a bit of an exaggeration to say that they were instant, but they certainly were fast. Worldwide compatibility, round-the-clock operation, and no limitations on minimum or maximum transaction amounts. This electronic form of money quickly became popular with diverse groups of users all around the world. Merchants used Bitcoin to tap into a global marketplace. Migrant workers used it to send money back home for much less than Western Union. Charities and content creators used it as a virtual tip jar, collecting donations big and small from any country on Earth. Certain industries were even able to use Bitcoin to replace traditional payment methods altogether. The rapid rate of expansion continued for several years and led many to think that Bitcoin was well on its way to becoming an unstoppable revolution in financial technology. Transaction confirmation times became increasingly unreliable, and users could find themselves waiting hours or days for their payments to clear. We talked about that tonight. Mark, I'm still waiting on the payment as of the beginning of the show. I haven't checked during the show, but it's been several hours throughout the entire day today. I think you sent it at like 11 this morning, and it still hadn't come through several hours later. So the delays are tremendous. This decline in usability caused many early retail adopters to abandon Bitcoin, either switching to competing digital currencies or returning to traditional payments entirely. New adoption slowed to a crawl, and in 2017, the number of transactions on the network began to decline for the first time in Bitcoin's 9-year history. The group calling themselves Bitcoin Core began to insist that Bitcoin was never meant to be money, after all, and was nothing other than a new speculative asset class. They also began to remove many of the defining features of Bitcoin, making transactions reversible.
Segregated witness is based on the idea that you really don't need everybody in the world authenticating your pizza purchase. Okay, and since the whole algorithm of Bitcoin is basically a solution to what's called the Byzantine generals problem, which in terms of having how do you reach consensus when you have a group of people who don't trust each other,
mm-hmm.
You don't need a bazillion people who don't trust each other to make that decision. You can make a trustworthy decision among people you don't trust with as small a group as 3 or 4 people, so long as you don't have more than one person that's making a traitorous decision on it. And so with a segregated witness, you have a lesser number of nodes who can participate in authenticating that transaction, and that would allow more transactions to happen on the network while still maintaining the Byzantine general's solution of Bitcoin without the amount of congestion.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.